Have you enjoyed the worship thus far? Amen. Amen. Let's give God a praise offering. Amen. Amen. We're continuing our series, our new sermon series entitled New. And last week we talked about some assembly required and how we have to all be open and available to God as he brings new things in our lives as well as in our church as he forms a new church here. And then today we're doing new behind the name. You know, as you've heard, that we're seeking a new name. And I think we don't want to get locked into the names of the NFC, New Fun Church, or the Operating Church. I mean, those are not very glamorous, so we need you to pray for those that are doing that. But I just thought as we came together to start thinking about that name, and please know that we're forming a new name team. And also, we'd like your suggestions for that new name. Email, or there's a box out in the foyer. We'll have that there for a few weeks with a goal of by February sometime, hopefully mid-February, we can have a new name to present to the new body of the church. As we think about that, I want to just take a few moments and talk about names, how fascinating they are, how they can have some meanings behind them. There was a newspaper ad one time that read like this. Lost dog, $50 reward, black and tan, part poodle, part German shepherd, left hind leg missing, blind in one eye, left ear bitten off in dog fight, answers to the name of Lucky. I don't think so. We all have of pet names. I'd like to share some humorous ones with you. Tell me what you think about the pet behind these names. How about dogs? Furbulous. Puddles a lot. As ours ages, I'm thinking about changing her name. Huh? And I like this one. Name your dog Stay. You want to drive him crazy. Here, Stay. Fetch Stay. Poor thing. How about cats? Ferrari, Claudia, Lucifer. Oh. There are people names, some odd ones like Rocket and Ocean and Apple and Kid, KYD. Back in the 1980s, San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district started to change back into a high-rent district. The activists stayed. They had children, but they didn't name their children names like Melissa and Brett. No, their names were like Time Warp, Spring Fever, Moonbeam, Earth, Love, and Precious Promise, all in the same public school. And every fall, the parents would send their children to the school. They put name tags on their kids, kiss them goodbye, and send them off on the school bus. And that's when the kindergarten teachers first met on the front of the tag, his name, Fruit Stand. Not very unusual compared to Time Warp and Spring Fever. They start saying during the day, "What's nice to meet you, Fruit Stand? Would you like to get a snack now, Fruit Stand? Can you please share your blocks with those other children, Fruit Stand?" Fruit Stand seemed a little distant, but it was his first day of school. And at the end of the day, they said, "Okay, Fruit Stand, come here. We need to get you ready to go out." And so they took him and they put all these things together, and they said, "Where is your bus stop?" And he just looked. He said, "You don't know where your bus stop is?" "No." But they had told the parents to write the bus stop on the opposite side of their name tag. So they turned it over and it said, "Anthony." Poor kid. You got to be careful what kind of names you give to, nicknames you give to people. I think the worst I heard was they named their young little boy from the day he was born, nicknamed Zero. He turned out to be one, the poor fella. I remember when I was in seminary, I went to find a nice seafood restaurant. I was told to go to this restaurant in Boston called the No Name Restaurant. I went, okay. So we drove around by the docks, and we couldn't find this restaurant. And I finally stopped a policeman, and I said, "Can you tell me where the No Name Restaurant is?" He says, "You see that building over there with all those people in line?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That's it." I said, "Yeah, but there's no name." He just looked at me. I get it. Doesn't take me long. Some of the worst names I know of are belong to pastors. He's deceased now, but there was a Baptist pastor named Grady Nutt. He used to say in church, I grew up in a nut house and now I run one. One of the worst names I heard belong to a pastor, his last name was Odor, O-D-O-R. His first name was Ivan, Ivan Odor. In my line, there was a pastor way back in my history. His name was Reverend Oscar Gerald Heck, and they used to refer to him as Reverend O.G. Heck. In churches, there are traditions because the Methodists were so methodical in planning and structuring. They were called people with a method, Methodist. Baptist is pretty common. It means to immerse. We baptize people through immersion. How about the church so-called Accident Baptist Church? They're not very Calvinist, are they? Otherwise known as another one, Calvin Free Will Baptist Church. Now, they're a confused bunch. Now, picking up on the hope theme, at least you didn't do this, Little Hope Baptist Church. That's not a good one. There's the boring Seventh-day Adventist Church. Their pastor's name is actually Elder Dull. And Harmony Baptist Church in East Texas, the name doesn't sound so bad till you find out that a half mile away is Harmony Baptist Church number 2. Not much harmony going on there, I guess. How about the Battleground Baptist Church? No, I don't know. Or the Crooksville Methodist Church? Or the Corinth Baptist Church? I don't think we want what they did in Corinth in our churches. I love this one. Run for Your Life Ministries. I don't think you'll be drawing many people to that. Here's one I don't think I'd go into either. High Tension Church. Or the Happy Pew Church. Somebody must not have sat in any of their pews, I'll tell you that now. The Country Club Christian Church. I think there's one in every community. I love this one. They couldn't come up with anything more creative. That New Church. We're pretty close to that. That's why we're getting into the name. One of the longest names, the Pentecostal Holiness, Double Anointing, Apostolic, Healing, and Deliverance Church of the Risen Savior. All right. Or the one that called themselves in a more contemporary way, the Carpenter Shed. Well, I guess where church discipline happens the old-fashioned way. I don't know. Biblically, we find that names are very important as well. When today's parents pick a name for their newborn, sometimes it's a family name, sometimes it's association with a celebrity or such. But in biblical times, they picked their names very carefully. The names they believed carried great meaning and purpose. They implied an identity. They spoke of a blessing or maybe even a curse or something that historically happened in God's history. And sometimes those names would foreshadow important characteristics or the roles they would play. And sometimes God would step in throughout Old Testament and New Testament and change the name of a person. And then when he did that, it was a step to something new, to a much larger plan in his work. Maybe God's leading us into a new name for that new purpose. Give you some examples in the Old Testament. We've heard of Abram. He was given that name. God gave him made him a promise saying he'll be the father of many nations. It means father of multitudes. Yet as he got later in years, actually way beyond childbearing years, he and his wife Sarai still had no children. And their hopes of having a child were to the point of hopeless, but still lingering was that promise of an heir, a son, to begin this line. And then one day, angels visited them and told them they're going to have a son. And Abram could hardly believe it. And Sarai, which means princess, when she heard that she's going to bear a son in her old age, she laughed. But when they did bear a son, Isaac, God changed his name to Abraham, meaning father of many nations. God changed her name to Sarah, meaning queen, for she would be the mother of many nations to come. And the son, well, he was named Isaac, which means laughter. She laughed. God changed their names to renew the purpose in their lives. God was going to carry out his plan through them, even when they thought it would seem impossible. Abraham had a grandson, the son of Isaac and Rebekah, named Jacob. He was a second-born of twins. When he was born, he was holding on to his brother Esau's heel. His name means holder of the heel. He behaved, though, poorly as a schemer, a trickster, a swindler. But he was still one that God chose to bear the promise that God gave to Abraham. Jacob was still the one God picked to father a nation that will be known as God's people. And God moved in Jacob's life and changed his name to Israel, which means God rules. With a new name, God called Jacob to a new life. And Jacob, now Israel, became the father of the 12 founders of the 12 tribes of Israel that we know of as Israel to this day. A third Old Testament word, name, is Zion. You heard it in the scripture reading today. It refers to the Jewish homeland. In Isaiah 62 that we read from, Isaiah the prophet cries out. He cries out the messages he has received from the Lord. Listen again. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. God gives new names to persons, to nations, and to churches. And the renewed purpose of that new name is a first step to a much larger plan that God is beginning something new. So that renewed purpose, it says, will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of God, to be used by God. We move into the New Testament. Joseph and Mary are told they'll have a son. His name will be Jesus, a derivative of Joshua, meaning conqueror, for he will save his people from their sins. And even in the New Testament, we see some name changes, even by Jesus himself. A guy named Simon. Simon was told by Jesus, you will be called Cephas or Peter, meaning rock. I know Jesus had a sense of humor to call Simon a rock. He's the one who would forget Jesus' teaching about turning the other cheek and slashed a man's ear off with a sword. He's the one who fled when danger neared and denied the master with a curse. He's the one that always didn't think that through whenever he reacted to something, yet Jesus dared to call him rock. Everyone knew that Simon was a man of hot emotions. He was unstable. His temper flared. There were times when he was uncertain of himself, times he couldn't make up his mind. His reactions were completely unpredictable. And the rock is the last thing that anybody would have thought of when they looked at Simon. Yet Jesus saw through Simon's weaknesses and told him that his weaknesses would be his strength. He didn't start that way, but over time, he yielded his heart to God's molding. The rock. Peter became the rock, the foundation leader in the new church. It happened. A man named Saul that rode around conniving and sneaking around to find followers of Jesus, to have them captured, and many of them met their death. A dreaded person. Yet God had a way with him, and he changed his name from Saul when he threw him down in the dirt, and he said, your name will be Paul. And he took that Saul, now become Paul, and Paul became not only an evangelist to the Jews, but to the Gentiles, and to the day he died, he was faithful to the Lord God with a strong name. Those that followed, we, to this day, we claim the name of Christian, and we think, isn't that a beautiful name? But it didn't start that way. People named us that because you're those Christ ones. You're those followers of that Christ. It was a derogatory term back in the day. They were called followers of the way because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Oh, they're followers of the way. And they're that Nazarene sect, that cult. Follow that Nazarene fella. A name change happens in our lives due to marriage or adoption or a renewed church. A name change represents a whole new stage in life. As a matter of fact, every person who comes to Christ and invites Christ into your heart as your Savior and Lord, something new happens in you too. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. A new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. When we receive Christ into our hearts, we receive a new birth. We become new creations. Scripture says we get a new heart. We sing a new song. We receive new jobs. And we also get a new name. We have a new purpose in life. We are the ones to match the name of the Christ ones, to show Christ to others, to follow Him. He is the love and the Lord of our hearts and our lives. Satan knows your name, but calls you by your sin. God knows your sin, but calls you by your new name, His beloved. God calls you His child, His heir. What an honor. He calls you fearfully and wonderfully made and precious in His sight. He says that you are worth dying for. God says that we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, that we are overcomers. When we come to Christ, our older person dies, our old sins are nailed to the cross, and just as Jesus was raised from the grave, we are raised up to walk in newness of life with Him. The old is gone, the new has come. Amen? Old, dead things are replaced with new things. Old purposes, feelings, desires, and understandings are fresh and different now. We see things differently. We want to see things Christ's way. The heavens and the earth are filled with new wonders, new people, all things new for all of us. There are new feelings to all kinds of people. We see that they were as we are, and we want them to be as we are in Christ. The things we once loved, we now detest. The sin we once held on to, we now desire to put away. We put off the old man with its deeds, as it says in Colossians, and put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It's not that we don't sin, but there's a difference between continuing to sin and continuing to live in sin. No one reaches sinless perfection on this side of eternity, but the redeemed Christian is being sanctified, made holy day by day, sinning less and hating it more every time they fail. That's why in Romans 6, 3-4, it says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Revelation 3:12 says, "The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will they leave it. I will write on it the name of my God and the name of my city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write on them my new name." Abraham was called to go to a new place and be the bearer of the promised one. Jacob's call was to be the father of the 12 tribes. Now, 4,000 years later, the name Israel is still there. Peter, a simple fisherman with a tendency to leap before he looked, was the founder of the church. They weren't the most likely people to get the jobs, but God gave them new names and new purposes. And so He does with us as believers, as well as a church. God wants us to know how much He loves us, and He wants us to open our hearts and our minds to Him more and more every day so that we become more Christ-like. Let people see Jesus in us. If we're going to claim the name Christ One Christians, we need to live up to that new name. Let them see Jesus. Amen? Joe was a drunk who was miraculously converted through the work of an inner-city mission. It follows a new conversion in Christ. Everything changed. He became the most caring person. He spent his days and nights helping in the mission. There was not anything that he wouldn't do, whether it was scrubbing a toilet or cleaning up from somebody who had been sick from overdrinking. One evening after a worship service, an invitation was given, and a man who Joe had loved and witnessed to and cared for months upon months upon months finally came forward to pray to receive Christ. As the man came forward, the drunk man came forward, he kept saying, "Oh God, make me like Joe. Oh God, make me like Joe. Oh God, make me like Joe." Well, the director of the mission leaned over and said to him, "Sir, I think it'd be better if you said, 'Make me like Jesus.'" The man looked up at him and said, "Is anything like Joe?" All he knew was Jesus with skin on him in the name of Joe. He really had seen Jesus. With all the new that we get when we come to Christ, our goal is to let people see Jesus in us as a reflection of Him. Do they see Christ working in our lives so much that they will want to see that in their lives? As Isaiah 62 said, you will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your gods. When people talk about other people, they sometimes say, that person will always be the same. People never change. They are hopeless. But God knows better, doesn't He? He is in the business of changing names and lives. Those who were despised tax collectors became disciples. Those who were immoral sinners became forgiven. Those who were common fishermen became fishers of men. A crucified thief became an heir of the heavenly paradise of God. If you're a believer, what names do you bear? Let me just list a few for your blessing. And as I start going through these fairly quickly, if one just hits your heart, yell out amen. These are the names that you bear before God if you've invited Christ to be your Savior. Forgiven, washed, cleansed, reborn, adopted, co-heirs with Christ, children of God, Holy Spirit-filled temples of God, reconciled, redeemed, justified, sanctified, no condemnation, sealed forever, anointed, peaceful, joyful, friend of God, saint, royal priesthood, servants, laborers, fellow workers of God, the bride of Christ, branches in the vine, members of Christ's body, His church, a holy nation, conquerors, overcomers, empowered, a peculiar people, witnesses, ambassadors, salt, light, heaven-bound, with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, a new creation. Amen. Behold, God says, I make all things new. If there's an area of your life that you want Him to make new, just go to Him and ask. He's there to help you. So much we receive from this God. A new birth, a new life, a new purpose, a new eternity, and together a renewed church with a renewed purpose. Pray for the name team. I'm sure you couldn't wrap up everything in one name, or we'd have a name longer than that one I mentioned. But pray for them that they will prayerfully find the movement and the purpose, the renewing one that God is bringing us to as we come together. But meanwhile, rejoice in the new name that we've been given in Jesus Christ. All the names we've been given, all the glories we share individually and together. And this is from the one whose name is above every name. And at His name, Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us pray. Father God, as we have been here this morning, we rejoice. Behind Your name, behind our names, Lord, is a whole new name. Not just as a church as we form a team, but Lord, individually, throughout history in the Old Testament, the New Testament, and Lord, in our lives too. Lord, You took tax collectors and persecutors and deniers and sinners like us, and You gave them a new name and a new purpose. And Lord, as they gave their lives to You, You molded them into a whole new creation. And Lord, creation that honored You and glorified You until its dying breath. May we allow You to do that in our lives and in our church, in our families. Lord, we go forth boldly claiming and rejoicing in the new name we have, Christ ones, and all that means. Help us to enjoy it, rejoice in it, and to live up to it, Lord, as we honor You. Let us, Lord, be that wonderful instrument in Your hand that'll glorify Your name individually and as a church. We pray this in Jesus' name as all God's people rejoice in the one who says, behold, I make all things new. Amen? Amen. Amen.